Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here again with you on another Sunday evening.
Always awesome on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. Oh, no, wait a minute. I say that at the end. But I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day anyway.
up until this point and forward.
Yeah. I got into an interesting discussion a few days ago with a bunch of people that are my age or older. We started talking about how when we were growing up, everything was closed on Sunday and, you know, you couldn't grocery shop and you couldn't, and sometimes you couldn't even buy gasoline and, you know, everything was closed and nobody was cutting the grass and nobody was painting their house and nobody was doing. And then you look around now and you think, man, Sunday is almost like any other day, except that most people don't go to work, but you know, you can shop at the mall, you can go to the grocery store, you can go home, paint your house, you can go home, cut the grass, you can go home and do whatever.
Yeah.
And nobody even thinks about, you know, the whole concept of the Sabbath anymore.
Nobody even bats an eye at it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it was so, you know, as you look through the Torah and the whole Old Testament, but as you look through the Torah, you know, over and over again, it talks about how important the Sabbath is, how important the Sabbath is.
Right.
And if you do any customary work on the Sabbath, you're supposed to be thrown out of the community and maybe even stoned because you're not keeping the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And, it's, you know, we've kind of lost that whole concept of it.
Oh yeah.
But,
so how long ago was this? I remember when I was real little. I remember Sundays, everything being closed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it gradually changed. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to, I don't remember like gas stations. I remember my father talking about how he had to get gas on Saturday night because Sunday there might not be any gas stations open.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know what people did that were out on highways and stuff. There must have been some places open, but anyway.
Yeah.
The whole idea of, you know, responding by faith to things, you know, like the Lord says there has to be a day of rest, so therefore I'm going to have a day of rest.
Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody comes over and says, can you help me, you know, build my new garage? You say, well, I'll come Saturday or I'll come Monday, but I can't come Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you said that now, people would say, oh, man, you didn't even want to help me. What a creep. You didn't even want to do anything. But, you know, we've been talking about serious discipleship and surrendering your life and saying, using a passage from Mark chapter 8, where Jesus says you have to deny yourself. You have to pick up your cross. You have to follow me. And in our culture, it's very difficult to deny yourself. It's very difficult for anybody to deny themselves.
Yeah.
Because I want to be happy. I want to be comfortable. I want things to go my way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't necessarily want to deny myself, but he says you can't be my disciple unless you do this. And there's other passages in Luke and Matthew where he goes through this, and we might get to some of that. I don't know yet, but I was thinking about this over this past week since we did last week's show of the importance that faith has in this, because in order to do these things, you're putting your faith completely in him.
Right.
And exactly. He's now become the focus of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, you know, I may not necessarily become a millionaire, or I may not be the highest guy in my company, or I might not do this, that, or the other thing I wanted to do. But, you know, that doesn't really matter as much to me anymore because he's right. The focus of my life.
Right.
And I'm surrendering to do what he wants me to do. And there's a, this is really based on faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've not physically seen Jesus in a way that he's talked to you and said, do you get this now? You know,
mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about this. Do you get this now?
Yeah.
But by faith, you've accepted that.
Right.
And, you know, St. Paul talks about faith, and the writer to the Hebrews has chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is commonly called the Hall of Fame of Faith, goes through all these people in the Old Testament and how they had their faith. And because they believed it was counted as righteousness. And when we become disciples and we begin to see how we're going to deny ourselves, how we're going to take up a cross, how we're going to follow him, we have to have faith and believe in his promises. We have to know that he wants us to do this because in eternity, there's going to be a reward for that.
Mm-hmm.
In eternity, you're going to see why you had to do these things.
Right. Yeah.
And so faith is based on that because you can't see it now, but you believe this. And in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, of course, talks about faith all the time, but in the Old Testament, we had this too, because you had people that, didn't always do what their senses told them. You know, your senses tell you, hey, wait a minute, that sounds pretty stupid what you're going to do, and this looks pretty bad right now. But you know, because of promises, that you're going to obey, and you know that this is God's will for your life, and so you're going to follow it. And this is the idea of the true disciple doesn't stop to think, well, wait a minute now, how's this going to affect me? Wait a minute. Now, I can't do this because I have this job, and I can't do that because my kids are still home, and I can't do that because of whatever reason. Whereas putting faith into the idea that the plan is the important part, and you're supposed to deny yourself to play your part in the plan. And a true follower who really has that faith and hope is going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a key where you're going to change your life based on faith.
Right, right.
You're not going to change your life and say, well, you know what? I've been living like a creep, but I figured out that if I do A, B, C, D, and E, God's going to like me better.
Mm-hmm.
But when you surrender yourself and you get the idea of what you're supposed to do, it's not a matter of him liking you better. It's a matter of you're doing his will.
Yeah. There, you know, and that's you bring up a really good point right there about God liking you better. And that if I do this or that, God's going to love me more.
Yeah.
God loves you just the same because he already sent his son as expiation for your sin.
Amen.
He cannot love you any more than he already does.
Mm-hmm.
But he allows you to have free will so that you can reciprocate that love freely.
Yes.
That's the key. He will, you know, the angels will rejoice in one repentant sinner.
Mm-hmm.
But as you were talking about that, you know, I went to 1 Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and, it says, beginning at verse 6, yet we do speak a wisdom of those who are mature, but not a wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, we speak God's wisdom, mysterious, hidden, which God predetermined before the ages for our glory, and which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him, this God has revealed to us through the Spirit.
Mm.
For the Spirit scrutinizes everything, even the depths of God.
Yes.
I mean,
I love that line.
You know, as you're talking about discipleship and what your reward is going to be when you're in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you so that I can come back and take you to myself, because where I am, there you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea.
Yes.
The richness of God's, I mean, we know the richness of God's mercy and love because of the sacrifice of Jesus' son, who gave himself as a ransom for our sins. But yet we do not know what heaven is going to be like in the fullness of God's presence for all eternity.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, it's...
And you see some of these even you know, we always talk about the New Testament disciples, and but you see these Old Testament servants, like even Abel, starting with Abel. I mean, he didn't have a long career as a disciple because his brother killed him.
Yeah.
But Abel was the faithful son who said, you know what? I love God and I'm going to give him the best stuff.
Exactly.
Whereas Cain said, eh, I'll just give him some of this old fruit over here and I'll just pick up some stuff off the ground and I'll give him the wormy apples. He won't know the difference. And, you know, I want to keep the good ones for myself.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't deny himself. Abel essentially denied himself. And I think a couple weeks ago, we talked about Noah and Mrs. Noah, 120 years working on the ark.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you call faithfully believing in a promise.
Yeah.
I mean, 120 years.
Yeah.
How many trips to Home Depot? How many hours out in the backyard on this huge ship with people making fun of him and, you know, the TV stations sending crews down there going, look at this kook. He's building a boat in his backyard. And what's he going to do with that big boat? And, but they believed. And then, of course, Abraham.
Yeah, I was going to say Abraham.
Yeah, I mean, Abraham believed and he received this inheritance. I mean, when you think about it, Abraham was this old guy. He was 75 years old and he was living in this place in the Tigris-Euphrates area and he was rich. He had all this livestock, didn't have any children, but he had all this stuff and he had Sarah. He was 75. And God says, okay, get your stuff. Let's go. I'm going to show you where you're going to move to.
Yeah.
And he obeys.
Yeah.
And he doesn't, and God doesn't say, you know, take a few weeks to think about this or, I mean, see if you feel like doing it. I mean, I'm just putting this out as a, if you feel like doing it, I'll show you someplace you can go. It's, yeah, but no pressure. You decide what you want to do.
Yeah.
He says, no. He goes, get up, get your stuff. Let's go. And he goes. And he not only does a physical journey, but he does a spiritual journey. And all the promises that he got, I mean, let's look at descendants for the main thing for our purposes. You know, he waits 24, 25 years before Isaac is born.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I mean, when I pray for something, I want it done like in an hour and a half or by tomorrow or by tomorrow morning at the latest.
Yeah.
I, you know, 25 years of waiting for a promise to be fulfilled. And the writer to the Hebrews says they and Sarah were as good as dead.
But
that's very snotty.
But if you say that, I mean, 25 years in earthly life is a long time.
Yeah.
In God's terms of eternity, it's not even the blink of an eye.
No.
And so, when we look at Isaiah 55, where it says, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's the difference.
Yes, exactly.
Good point. I mean, and this, you know, what we're talking about is really formation of disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Faith formation.
Yes.
Catechesis.
Yes.
The handing on of the faith.
Yes.
This is what's so important in the church today because in the secular world, society tells us, name it and claim it and it's yours.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that, in an instant. I can get on my phone, speak into it, and I get an answer from it.
Right.
I can shop online. I can do anything I want. And in a day, I'm going to get it sent to me because I have the Prime service.
Yes.
you know, I'm paying for all these extras.
I just got something today from Amazon.
There you go. I think they want to sponsor the
Amazon
show.
Is not a paid sponsor of Gift of Grace Ministries.
Yeah, no. You think they'd want to sponsor a program? Anyway, so waiting any amount of time.
Yeah.
Let alone 25 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a generation.
Yes, exactly.
And a little bit more of that.
Exactly. But Abraham responded to a call just like we have.
Yeah.
See, there isn't, the things in the scripture are timeless. What applied to Abraham's time applies to us. You know, what applied to Peter and the other apostles applies to us.
Yeah.
What applied to something, you know, 500 years ago also applies to us.
Mm-hmm.
He responded to a call. We've responded to a call.
Yeah.
And it's a sovereign call. you know, God calls you to this.
Right.
You know, through the Holy Spirit, you get a calling to this.
Mm-hmm.
You realize, you know, Paul says no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So when you understand Jesus is Lord and you say, well, I have to follow him because he's Lord. He died for me. I'm repenting of my sin. I'm going to follow him. I want to make him Lord of my life. My life's different now.
Mm-hmm.
I have repentance. I have the metanoia that we always talk about. And we start going on this journey. You know, Abraham didn't really have any special qualifications.
He
I mean, his father made idols. But,
yeah.
You know, so God didn't say, you know, I looked all through the world and I'm going to pick this guy Abraham because he's rich. He's really handsome. He's really intelligent. He's, you know, I like the way he handles his goats and stuff. So, no, he sovereignly picks him.
Yeah.
And he picks us to do things, not because we're so awesome. He doesn't say, wow, you know, I'm going to have Steve do the music because he's so awesome. I mean, his music is awesome. But he's picked and he's gifted to do that. We're all picked for our part of the journey and we're prepared for it and we're trained for it and we're, I don't know, whatever other words we can use. But it isn't because we're so qualified. You know, when we are converted sinners, we should be thanking him and praising him all the time, ready to serve. And then he knows what our place is going to be. And that's, I think, the fundamentals of discipleship.
Yeah.
You can't do discipleship on your own terms, as you were saying earlier.
Right.
You can't say, well, here's what I generally do, and I'll add a thing or two that I heard Jesus say, but, you know, we'll go with that for a while, see how it works out.
Yeah.
That's not surrender.
Right. I mean, when you are called by the Lord and, you know, that invitation is there before you. And I know for my own self, there was a moment of stark contrast between how I saw myself and how God actually saw me.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality of that was very sobering.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you know, I would justify, justification is a funny thing because you can justify anything you want
mm-hmm.
based on your own reality.
Mm-hmm.
But God's reality is truth.
Yes.
And how does that look in God's eye?
Exactly.
And that's what's so important and what matters beyond anything else.
Yeah.
And so, none of us are saints. We're all sinners,
mm-hmm.
and we're all in need of a Messiah
mm-hmm.
for the redemption, for the forgiveness of our sins.
Yes.
And if I go on the path of self-justification, and I think I don't need that, I will meet a tragic end
yeah.
because I've denied God, I've denied His Son, I've denied His Word, and I've denied the invitation to His grace and mercy, that I will then have to pass through the doors of God's justice without
mm-hmm.
His Son advocating for me and saying, not guilty.
Yeah.
I will stand on my own before God, and I will certainly not farewell.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's like, you know, I always use the example, if you want to be saved by your own efforts, you can keep all 613 laws perfectly every moment of your life, and then you die, and God look at you and says, you know what? I think, wait a minute, you've kept every single law perfectly your whole life. Wait, let me look through this again, because I can't believe it. You'd never, well, I'm obliged to save you now, because that was the deal.
Yeah.
So, come on.
Yeah.
And then you could walk around in heaven going, let me tell you guys something. I kept them all, everyone. No, but Paul says, you know, there's no boasting.
Right.
Because we're saved by the cross, we're not saved by our own awesomeness, and we're not saved by our own holiness and righteousness, because, mm-hmm. you know, we have some righteousness, but it's not enough to get you in.
Yeah.
Certainly. And so as people who come into this journey by faith, that's got to be the key to discipleship, because you have to think, well, wait a minute, he's given me everything. I've really not brought much into this, but now he's gifted me to do this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And then if tomorrow he tells me I got to go to Bolivia, I'm going to have to seriously think about going to Bolivia. I might not like it.
Yeah.
And I might not, I don't know what I'm going to do when I get there. But, mm-hmm. you know, kind of reminds me of our friend Irene Friedman in Israel.
Oh, yeah.
When, you know, the Lord told her and her husband to go to Israel, and they got there, and they didn't know where they were supposed to go.
Right.
But they obeyed.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, one thing led to another, and they ended up with a congregation in Galilee. But, you know, for the Lord to say, I want you to go to Israel, and you pack up your stuff, and you put your baby in the car seat, and you go to the airport, and you fly to Tel Aviv, and you get off the plane and say, well, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Let's pray about what where we should go from here. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. And you know, one thing I'm going to expound on that a little bit is that, you know, someone might see them now and go, oh wow, I'd really like to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
See, you have to go yeah. through the whole process to get yes. to be in that position.
Yes.
Would you really be willing to lift your whole family and move them? Would you yes. listen to that call?
Yes.
And see, the whole thing with discipleship is, it's not just a momentary glimpse of the present.
yeah, yeah.
That you go, oh wow, that seems really nice. I would like that. No, you're really tested by fire when God calls you. You're really tested by fire.
That's right.
Because to be his vessel, I mean, he wants you to be clean so that he can use you in extraordinary ways, not for your own glory, but for his glory.
Yeah.
Because the weakness of us humans gives God glory.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan can't stand that.
Yes, he can't stand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even getting back to Abraham, he couldn't see where this was going.
No.
But he did it.
Mm-hmm.
We can't necessarily see where we're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't really see it, but yet we start walking down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a long journey. And, you know, with Abraham, it was a physical journey and a spiritual journey. And that might be for you. It's going to be a spiritual journey for sure.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you may have to go to Youngstown. Oh, wait a minute. You live in Youngstown.
Did anything good come up? No, that's the other facet.
Yeah, you may have to go, you know, you may end up going someplace physically as well, but everybody's going to be on the spiritual part of the journey.
And I mean, think about it. Abraham, you know, there were no maps. There was no satellite imagery of what the land, where he would go,
yeah.
what it was like. Maybe he traveled there before, who knows, but that stuff, yeah. I mean, today we have all that stuff. We go, okay, well, yeah, if I go here, I know what the map shows. I can do this. I can do that. You know, I know where the Starbucks are at. I know where
exactly
you know, the pizza places are at.
Yeah, I know where Target is.
Yeah.
But we're settled not only in our house, in our routine, but our job and whatever. But when you think about these people, not just the patriarchs, but even the people in the wilderness, they lived in tents. And every so often they packed up everything and they moved.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the cloud moved, they packed everything up and they had to move.
Yeah.
And so Abraham had no way to see. In fact, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and he was glad.
Yeah.
And those guys said, what? Wait a minute. You're not even 50 years old. You've seen Abraham? And he could have said, well, as a matter of fact, yes. And I can show you where he is right now if you want me to. But yeah. I know Abraham really well. He's mm-hmm. my friend. And they would have thought he was really crazy.
Yeah.
But he says, yeah, Abraham saw my day. And in the Greek, it means he leapt at it. He yeah. leaped for joy. Now, mm-hmm. Abraham, in his earthly journey, could not see Messiah and what was going to happen and could not see that someday the kingdom was going to be established because of his great descendant,
mm-hmm.
the Messiah. He saw it somehow, maybe when he died, but Jesus said he saw my day and he rejoiced.
Yeah.
Because then he realized, wow, this is part of what his journey was for. You know, we don't even know what's going to happen a year from now or 10 years from now, but it may get to the point where we say, wow, this is why I was supposed to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is over already.
It is.
Anyway, hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as you journey on your journey of faith, that you would ask God for the grace to persevere in faith, to persevere and to hold fast to God for the promises that He has in store for you. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.